as an entrepreneur, we don't need to ask for a 5% raise. We can do some tweaks, we can learn new knowledge, we can scale up things, and we can double or triple our income.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, the podcast for those in the location-independent lifestyle. We have an incredibly interesting guest today, an author, podcaster, an entrepreneur. Johnny FD joins us today. Travel Like a Boss podcast. But before we catch up with Johnny, I'd like to catch up with Andrew Jernigan. Andrew, you know, there's been a lot of conversations in the community about making quick connections, avoiding loneliness as people do explore their own journeys. It's an area that I think we're going to cover a bit today, but something that I know we've been thinking about as we try to make connections with people. You've been to a lot of different countries. You've moved to a lot of different locations. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's such a crucial question that you brought up here, and taking care of yourself in that journey. One, making sure you're out there and willing to make friends with people that don't look like you, that don't talk like you, that don't have the same past and experiences or future, and just getting beyond the preconceptions, but also the self-care, whether it's subscribing to a mental health program to where you can chat or a service that provides the well-being counseling sessions. I think those are really good because there are oftentimes to where relationships go through different seasons and we go through different things. We see traumatic instances in new cultures, whether it's thinking of me in a new city, I saw flood and emergency vehicles and boats go by. We see different things and need someone to walk through these journeys because we don't exactly call home and say, hey, I just saw this, because where is home anymore anyway for many of us that have lived in this lifestyle? It's often even over the horizon. It's that thing of, okay, we can have home bases, but this is interesting. I love the fact that Johnny is on this episode today. He is one of the authority leaders of this generation for those who have been living around the world and making money and teaching others how to. So it's going to be good.
Well, just to tie in one last thing about avoiding loneliness. So I mountain bike, play tennis. I work out a lot. When I travel overseas or I go to a location for a while, it's just great to reach out to some of these groups that have similar interests and really get out there. And you're never really lonely. Also, if you're like me who likes to go to microbreweries, because there's always people who are willing to share ideas on what's a good beer. That's just my own aside. So we'll bring in Johnny FD. Johnny, I've been to Kyiv. It's a place I've also enjoyed a fair amount of beer. Wonderful beer there, wonderful food. You've just made a huge transition to that area. Welcome aboard. How are you doing there today? And some of your thoughts on our initial comments, my friend.
So hey guys, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here. This is actually my first kind of nomad interview since I mentally kind of retired from being a nomad, actually. So I wanted to leave a couple tips for everyone, because it was a long journey from 2008 to 2020. I was traveling full time. I would go home to visit for a month at a time, but I was living abroad. And I finally decided to settle down. I bought an apartment here. And now I'm transitioning more to an expat than I am a nomad. But I would say the loneliness of going to a new location really is hard, especially as you get older. You're not staying in hostels anymore. That was, you know, fine. That was kind of the easiest hack, right? If you're young and you're staying in a 12-bed hostel, you're going to meet 12 other people. You probably can hang out with them, have some drinks, go out. But when you start staying in Airbnbs or in hotels, it does get harder.
Well, and you have also been a very active person too, you know, with Mai Tai, and now I understand you're some of the other things. How about some of the groups you got involved with? And your podcast, you had some great tips on that. Isn't it like 90% of just everything is just showing up? Sooner or later, you're going to run into a group that of similar interests, right?
Yeah, I would say for me, the kind of hack, I guess, was always to have an interest or a reason to go somewhere besides just going there or checking off a country. So you mentioned Mai Tai. I, you know, would go to different cities in Thailand, you know, whether it was Phuket, and I would sign up for a fight camp. So I would be there for 1 to 3 months. I would live at the gym with other people who are also training. So instantly you have a group of 20 or 30 people who are training the same sport as you. And you can do this for other things too. So I also did it for scuba diving. You know, I wanted to get my dive master. And for the first 2 months, you have a couple other people in your class who are also doing the same thing as with friends. And when I started working as a dive master or dive guide, you would go and there would be 10 other people working there. And those are your new friends as well. Plus you have all the guests who are coming and you're taking them out. So kind of that's the easiest way to plug in, is to go with a reason, an intention, join a program, whether you're working in that program, you're volunteering, volunteering or you're a student.
So you just made the big move from Sri Lanka to Ukraine. And a lot of people in our community are like, how do you identify the next place you want to go? I mean, you had a world out there. So how did you end up there, you know, make that big transition? And I also recommend to folks to go to the Travel Like a Boss podcast. Johnny does what he explains some of the thinking on why you left Sri Lanka for Ukraine. But how did you identify the Ukraine and Kyiv in particular?
So in this case, I actually had been here before. In general, I think we travel a little bit too quick, most people in this community, or you travel way too slow where they go one place and they just stay for 20 years. And they kind of assume that's the best place. For me, it was kind of a hybrid where I would go somewhere for a month at a time. But if I really liked it, I would try to go back every year. You would meet with old friends again. You would go back to your favorite restaurants or coffee shops, your favorite gym. And when I was stuck in Sri Lanka, I was stuck in paradise and I was living on the beach. I was surfing. I was in the sun every day. And I was thinking, where do I want to go? Do I want to go to another paradise? You know, do I want to go to Thailand? Do I want to go to Hawaii? No, I'm kind of tired of it. I want a big city. I don't want to go back to the US. It's expensive. I would lose the foreign earned income exclusion, the tax breaks. And I was just thinking, where in the world do I want to go? And the only reason why I didn't want to move to Ukraine, it was the language barrier. But I decided, you know what? Let me just go there. I will force myself to learn Russian and then Ukrainian. This is a long-term play. So that's how I ended up here.
Well, you touched on this, the camps for fighting and different things. But I think if history serves me right, as I've followed you through time, the FD has something to do with that, right? The adventurous side of you. Can you reveal that FD for us all?
Yeah. So when I wrote my first book, it was about scuba diving and Muay Thai kickboxing. And I wanted to put all that in the title because at the time, at least, it was good to stuff as many keywords in, right? So the book was called 12 Reasons Thailand, The Good Life on the Cheap. But that was kind of maximum amount of characters you could put in title. And I thought, okay, you know, how can I get the words like fighting and diving in there? And I thought, you know what? Let me put it as my author name. So the book is not by Johnny FD. It's by Johnny Fighter Dive Master or something like that on Amazon.
So Fighter Dive Master became the FD.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. So this has been a journey for you over a long time. You know, you've been known as the host of the Nomad Summit that ran for a few years, right? And this nomad movement, even expats are now realizing, oh, I haven't been taken that label of expat, but really I've identified with digital nomads. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize that was even existing. Or digital nomads now realizing, okay, I'm shifting from being a digital nomad into that colonial term of expat. Mm-hmm. Or they're taking location independent or trying to figure out, okay, what can I be? I don't like the colonial term. It's going to morph as this great resignation and the global workforce changes. What's your take on that? Mm-hmm. When this whole generation is so mobile, there may not be the perfect title for it right now. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. What's your take?
So when I was living in Chiang Mai, I was in the digital nomad community. And most of us were pretty young, I would say on average between 20 and 35 maximum. And we thought we discovered Chiang Mai. Everybody kind of assumed that. But there was also this expat community, mostly ranged from, I'll say 50 to 70 or so. They had been there for years. And there wasn't that big of a difference. It was just they weren't as into online business or into creating content online. Most of them had pensions or they're living off of savings, things like that. But it was a very separate community. Now in 2021, the lines are a little bit more blurred because there is people like me who are technically not a retired expat because I'm still working online. But at the same time, I'm not really a digital nomad because I'm not moving around every month or two and building businesses. I'm kind of just coasting by. So I think there's a two end. And you know, a guy can be 70 and still working online. He could be freelancing or doing something and earning money while living in other countries, while traveling once in a while. So the lines are really blurred. I think terms are not really meant to put someone in a little tiny box, but it's just kind of to make it easier to generalize a category of people. There's always going to be exceptions.
So listening to you, and you have obviously got a lot of wisdom to share. One of the things that really resonated with me is, so you were able to have this lifestyle for many years. You've spoken very eloquently about index funds. You just mentioned the other day about the tax credit when you're out of the U.S., I guess, for more than 330 days. Could you share some of your tips to some of the folks that are kind of new to this? Because you've obviously been through the school of hard knocks, and I really appreciated some of the things that I heard you share on your podcast.
Yeah, it's hard because I did it the long grind way over the last 10 years. I've been saving every dime, investing it, and kind of growing my net worth to a point where I can kind of chill out a little bit and have some passive income. But in the last couple of years, it's almost like the riskier, the more speculative the investment you made, the more money you made. So, you know, it's not really exciting to say like, oh, I made, you know, a couple hundred grand or something, because you could have put it in a failing movie theater stock or failing rental car agency or some kind of crappy cryptocurrency. And a lot of people made the same amount of money. But I really genuinely believe that it's speculation. It's luck. Good for them, but they could have very easily went the other way. The way I did it was kind of the long grind. I have a video on YouTube called My 14 Streams of Income. And there were 14 different businesses I built over the last 10 years, starting from my two eBooks to some courses I made to my dropship stores to real estate to investing, all these things. And my kind of biggest tips for everyone is, as an entrepreneur, we don't need to ask for a 5% raise. We can do some tweaks, we can learn new knowledge, we can scale up things, and we can double or triple our income. And as long as we don't double or triple our expenses, you can take all the rest of the money and you can save it. You can invest it in something. And if you want to be speculative, you go ahead and put it in, I don't know, some crypto fund. Or if you want to be like me, a bit more conservative, you put it in something like a broad index fund where you're buying a little piece of every business in the US or even around the world. And in general, those go up, you know, between 7 to 9% per year. And, you know, you can live off the dividends, you can live off the growth, and you're pretty set. I don't regret doing that. And I wish I was able to just have thrown a couple $1,000 into something speculative and, you know, become a multimillionaire today. But at the same time, I would much rather be where I am now. This is what I would recommend to friends or family or anyone listening to this as well, is the turtle wins the race more than the hare that prints, you know, in a zigzag.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you bring that up. So I myself am a big fan of index funds. Most of my money is in index funds. But having a small percentage, as I call it, my own venture fund, which is Johnny, Andrew, all of us are in unique areas and we see products that are really burgeoning. I think I can put 5 or 10% in that, and then you might have a chance to accelerate. But to your point, I love your conversation, what you were speaking of a failing rental car company. I mean, Hertz was filing for bankruptcy and people were still buying the stock. That's not a very smart or intelligent play. It may have worked out in this weird area. But what I think you also hit upon is you've been investing for quite a while, and with time value of money, you can get ahead of the curve. And I think a lot of people don't go down that road. And I salute you for making your money earn money for yourself, right? That's one of the real steps in the right direction.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the term, you know, money makes money or the rich get richer, it stems from a very basic thing. It's compounding interest. And the easiest way for anyone to think about this is, if you owed a bunch of money on a credit card and you didn't pay it off, after 10 or 20 years, you would be in a massive pile of debt. It works exactly the same the other way. If you put a bunch of money in an index fund, or every month you put some money in an index fund and you just don't touch it, let it compound, let the interest compound, after 5 or 10 years, you're going to be sitting on a pile of cash. So it's pretty simple. And I have a blog post on johnnyfd.com. Just search for index funds. And it basically just recommends a few books, recommends the mindset of long-term holds and not speculating. But at the same time, it's hard to recommend the slow and steady right way to do it in 2021, when it seems like the more risky you are, the more money you can make. So I don't know. This is a crazy world we live in.
Well, there's another part to it, is protecting against the downside. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is people that have either big medical reversal, lost something. Andrew talked about the floods that we're experiencing and where we are today. People have not insured against that or not prepared, et cetera. As you've traveled about, how have you also protected yourself against the downside? Obviously, you shared with us some great tips on putting some money aside for the upside. How about a little bit on the downside?
So to be perfectly honest with both you and myself, the first 5 years, I was just taking a risk. You know, I was hoping to get lucky and nothing bad would happen. I was literally teaching scuba diving and I didn't have health insurance. I could have drowned, or I could have, you know, fell off a cliff or something, and I would have been screwed. So I do recommend to everyone who travels to have something, especially if you can't afford an airlift home or you can't afford otherwise. And then at a certain point, I also realized that medical care in places like Thailand or even Ukraine or Sri Lanka, it's actually cheaper to pay out of pocket than go somewhere and deal with insurance. So now, honestly, I don't worry too much about it. If I lived in the US, I would absolutely have to. But it's one of those things where you should at least be honest with yourself and really ask yourself, if I got a bill for $30,000, could I pay it without selling a liver?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We saw a case recently, and of course, you know, Andrew and I are strong advocates of healthcare being in that area, of a person who needed $13,000 just to be released from the hospital. And then you had to go to the social media media to fund it. And of all things, Tyler Perry, the movie star, came up with the money. Now, it was a very fortunate experience, but I think it was a learning for a lot of folks that, to your point, maybe some of the small things you don't necessarily insure against if you need to be evacuated or some other major medical issue. But also you hit upon something too, is there are parts of the world that healthcare is relatively inexpensive, and there's others that obviously are expensive, like the US. And one of the great things I think about where you are in Ukraine, when I travel to Ukraine, it's even a mind-body tie together. I met a gentleman there who had Crohn's disease in the United States, and he said he'd been in Ukraine for a year, and because of the amount of naturalness in the food, he had not had any issue with Crohn's disease the whole year he had been there, because the food is so natural, the beer. It's kind of interesting about eating local natural food. So you've traveled about, you've obviously had different foods and different things like that. Maybe this is a great time for you to share with us one of the places that you might think is overlooked, marvelous, whatever, or if you've got a couple of them, because you've been so many different spots that people should keep their eyes peeled on.
Yeah, definitely. I would say if it's somewhere that you heard of 5 or 10 years ago that you've always dreamed to go, it's probably going to be over-touristed and crowded by now. So places like going to Paris, going to Bali, you know, going to London or something. For sure, I've been to all of them. They're all overpriced. There's hidden gems. It's those countries that you never really hear about. Like, for example, Sri Lanka is so much better than Bali in pretty much every way. With way less tourists, it's cheaper, there's more nature, it's more untouched, but it's just not as popular. Or if you go to like Albania, you can go to a beach that's just as beautiful as in Greece, but it's half the price. You know, it's just not as popular. So that's my biggest recommendation, is don't just go to the places that are in the top 10. Find a place that you talk to people who have traveled to more than a few places, get their recommendations and go there.
Is there a particular food style too that we just had? I mean, one of our podcasts had mentioned Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that it's a food style that a lot of people have not tried, but when they do, they think it's marvelous. So as you've traveled about, obviously some of the foods that you've run into in those locations.
The one cuisine that doesn't exist outside of Eastern Europe, for whatever reason, it's one of the best foods out there. It's Georgian food. And I don't know why. It's not in the US. There might be 2 Georgian restaurants in the whole country. And it's just not a popular cuisine, but it's delicious. It's amazing. They have amazing breads and cheeses and meats and dumplings. Their wine is the oldest wine culture in the world. And it's just, war never got out, but it's amazing.
Interesting. I've never heard of Georgian wines either. When you're in Ukraine too, you're going to have quite a unique Eastern European and different styles of food there too. I have to admit, I was there when it was a little bit colder and I got used to borscht and some of the soups that they have there. As you've been to Kyiv, and a lot of people have been shying away from Ukraine because they've seen some of the issues with Russia on the border. Could you give us a quick report on what you're seeing in Kyiv right now? I'm hearing it's a wonderful place. I was there. I loved it. Although there's that really strange statue, not exactly their Lady Liberty, overlooking the city that was left behind, but it's a wonderful city. What's the latest that you see there?
Kind of the Ukraine Russian conflict doesn't affect your life in Kyiv at all. People don't even really talk about it. It's always coming back to people's mind. But Ukraine in general is a hard place to travel to if you're new. Now, I would suggest going somewhere like Thailand first, or even to Sri Lanka, or to the rest of Europe before you make it here. Because if you've never traveled before, you don't speak Russian or Ukrainian, you're going to have a hard time. It's not an easy place to go. Winter is coming and it's going to be minus 20 here. It's going to be a tough place. But that's what I like about Ukrainians, is they're tough people. I don't need to have my handheld through an easy place anymore. So I'm up for the challenge. I think it's worth it, but it's definitely not a place I would recommend to most people, unless you want to have a hard time, maybe get scammed, and definitely get lost.
Where can people find you? Where can they learn more about your courses and coaching and different things? Where can people find out about that?
The best place would be my blog, johnnyfd.com. I've written guides about every single city I've been to, I lived in, including all the ones we mentioned here, in depth, all for free. There's embedded YouTube videos on there as well, so you can see what it looks like. Nowadays, I'm not really updating my blog as much anymore, focusing most on my YouTube channel, but that's more honestly for entertainment. But it's, look for Johnny FD on there. I have put out so much solid information out there the last, you know, 5 years about how I built businesses, where to go. So that's all there. Most of it's evergreen. But nowadays, don't expect me to put out too much more, because now I'm semi-retired, taking a break and enjoying life.
Okay, this has been fun. You're just one of those that I could listen to so much. I've followed on the various channels throughout the past years, and I wanted to go to Chiang Mai for the summit. It's one of those things that couldn't happen in that season of life. But this has been really great hearing your take. And I don't know about you, Alan, but one of my takeaways is to start early in making sure you're financially stable. That's one of those things where people were ready to make a transition, but they haven't laid the foundation for it a lot of times. They think, okay, great, I can work from anywhere. Now let's go do it. They don't have the reserves, or they didn't start investing soon enough so that they can think about the future. And what about you, Alan? What are some of your takeaways today?
Well, a couple things. First off, I could talk investing all day. Like Johnny, I retired and you brought me back, Andrew, and I appreciate that. And I also appreciate his conversation about trying a different food style. And I will try to search out Georgian food when I next get to probably New York City. Might be one of the two places that has a restaurant like that. But I also would say to the audience that Travel Like a Boss podcast is really interesting. And even if Johnny's not doing as many of them anymore, they're very enlightening and very entertaining. So I would listen to them too. The takeaway I'll also say is I love the idea of somebody's been in a wonderful place and then you move to somewhere completely different. So think about this. He's moved from Sri Lanka, where it tends to be warm, beachfront, and now he's in Ukraine. I can't wait to check back with him in a year and see how the difference in topography and climate. I learned a lot today and I really enjoyed the conversation. So for those of you out there who are listening to the New Nomad podcast, we really hope you keep traveling. You know, this is a community of people, ideas, spirit, helping you take advantage of the location independence lifestyle. I think we had a great conversation to that line today. Please travel well, circle back again, and we look forward to catching up with you next week with another adventure in independent and exciting lifestyle.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.